Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you today, and it's an honor to be here in the seminary chapel. I'm sorry that I don't get over here very often. I feel that I'm in chains and manacles in my own office for doing what we're doing over on the university side, but it's just always a blessing to come to the seminary. I was a student here for 2 years in graduate school, and my memories of being here have always been wonderful memories. The classes, the professors, the interaction and fellowship with my classmates that I had, many of them today who are continuing on in the ministry. And so these are wonderful years. I hope that you are enjoying them. I hope that you're enjoying the opportunity to study. Because once you get out in the ministry, it's not that you don't have the time to study, but it's allocated to take in order to give out. And so this is a great time. It's a great time for you to formulate your thinking on things, or at least build a good foundation. As you grow older in the Lord, the doctrinal truths you learn when you're young, they ripen with age. And I hope that you're growing in those things in your own personal life. If you are in chapel Monday, I am going to acknowledge that I am sorry that you're going to hear the same sermon Monday. So it's going to be like reheated meatloaf. But maybe some of you don't like meatloaf, so maybe Mexican food or something along that line. If you heard it on Monday, I'm sorry. My repertoire in Jeremiah is slim. Just to be frankly honest with you, Jeremiah 8:20, I have a sermon called "The Harvest Is Past, the Summer Is Ended, and You Are Not Saved." So it's a gospel message. But in preparation, I spent most of my time preparing for this Monday. So again, if you've heard it, I'm sorry. If you haven't, I hope you'll be blessed by what you've heard, and I hope the Lord will use it in your life. This week, we are covering the theme of really a healthy mind. We call it mental health because people identify with that, but I view mental health as more of a secular psychology term as opposed to a biblical concept of a healthy mind, especially for those of us who know the Lord and we've been regenerated. So I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, and we'll come back to this passage of Scripture shortly. But I want to address with a number of questions today the issue of mental health. It is no small thing. I remember when we started working with the NCAA sports, and I've been to two or three national NCAA sports conventions. And if you think you're going to the NCAA sports convention to learn about sports, then you actually need to think again. Because my first meeting, I was shocked that we hardly talked about sports at all. What we talked about was we talked about issues that college students have who are involved in the sports world. And the number one issue they discussed was mental health. And I found it to be very interesting because I was hoping they were going to talk about soccer or football or something that I actually was extremely interested in. And they ended up talking about the struggles that athletes face today. And if you were to go online and just Google college mental health, college students' mental health, then you're going to be inundated with all kinds of information. So the questions I'd like to ask, first of all, is mental health a big issue today among students that are studying? And there seems to be a limitless data from the secular world. There are currently 22 million young people today who are enrolled in colleges and universities in the United States. And a survey was done by Boston University researchers entitled Healthy Minds Network. I'm glad they used that title. And it was taken among 33,000 college students. And they concluded that depression and anxiety are now reaching its highest levels because of health issues, political issues, and racial issues. They went on to say that half of the students screen positive for depression and anxiety, and 83% say that mental health has affected their academic performance, and 2/3 struggle with loneliness or feeling lonely. Another report was based on a book written by Anthony Rostain and he co-authored a book called The Stressed Years of Their Lives. And it notes that today's college students are experiencing an inordinate amount of anxiety, and much of it is centered on surviving college and doing well, the pressure that they feel. So is it a big deal, mental health a big deal among college students today? And I think the answer is yes. That's what the secular world is telling us. But the question I'd like to ask is mental health considered a big deal in the Bible? And when we consider the scriptures, let me begin by saying that in the entire Bible, there are over 31,000 verses, 75% of them in the Old Testament, 25% of them in the New Testament, and the word mind, just the word mind. And of course, by definition, there are many different words for mind in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, but just in general, the word mind is found in 6,218 verses, or 20% of the entire Bible. The word mind is mentioned. And in the New Testament, the word for mind is mentioned 2,957 times, or 37% of the verses of the New Testament. So if you want to identify the Bible as a book, it's a book about God, it's a book about Jesus, obviously, but it's also a book about the mind. It is a book about how we are supposed to think. Proverbs says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if somebody says the Bible doesn't speak about mental health, then it means that they're mental. They don't understand what the scripture says. And it is a book that clearly addresses how we are to think, how we are to have a healthy mind. So let's begin this morning with a definition of mental health. And I'm going to use it first of all from the world's perspective, their diagnosis, and then we'll look at it from a biblical perspective. Regarding defining mental health from a world's perspective, the World Health Organization says that mental health is a state of well-being in which the individual realizes his or her abilities, can cope with the normal stresses of life, can work productively and fruitfully, and is able to make a contribution to his or her community. I remember reading this. I thought, well, this is talking about somebody who's normal. This is the way a normal person is. Another one says in mentalhealth.org that mental health includes our emotional, psychological, and social well-being. It affects how we think, how we feel, and how we act. It also helps determine how we handle stress. How do we relate to other people? How do we make the right kind of choices? Mental health is important in every stage of life, from childhood and adolescence all the way through adulthood. So I think most of you would acknowledge in one way that these are at least good working statements regarding good mental health, at least from the world's perspective. So the question then is, what do we do if mental health is not good? I mean, obviously, working with college students, that is a tremendous struggle. What do we do, for example, when we don't realize our own abilities, or we don't cope with normal stresses of life, or we don't work productively and fruitfully, or we don't contribute to the community in which we live in? And more specifically, if the Bible is a book about the mind, then what constitutes a healthy mind from a biblical worldview perspective? What constitutes a mind that is healthy? And how do you have a healthy mind with so much, or in the midst of so much, depression, anxiety, loneliness, and other multiple negative thoughts? Well, that's what I want to focus on today. And I want to talk about a spiritually healthy mind. I realize that there are a lot of other elements to a healthy mind. I know Jim Berg often says you're as good as you are rested. And so there are physical issues that people face mentally. At your age, if you're young, it's probably getting rest, eating properly, getting exercise, being out in the sun, being out in the world and working and so forth. When you get to my age, it might shift a little bit more like, how are you doing physically? Or what kind of issues are you facing in your own physical life? So I realize that there are physical issues that affect you mentally. I realize there are also social issues, whether it's having friendships, whether it's being around positive people as opposed to being around negative people, the relationship you have with your family, having a stable home, the relationship you have in marriage, all of those things I realize are a part of that. And I'd like to add to this also that there are hereditary health issues. How many times have you gone to the doctor and they want to know about your family history so they can figure out where you are physically? And I think there are also emotional issues that you face growing up, whether it's your own natural proclivities to certain things. All of those things I'm setting aside. And I'm speaking specifically this morning about the spiritual elements of a healthy mind and focusing on my mind in relationship to my God. So let me start by making a few general statements about the mind from a biblical perspective, and then we'll look more specifically at one of the most important verses in the Bible, I think, that speaks about a healthy mind. So in general, let me say these statements. First of all, the mind is a part of being created in the image and likeness of God. To put it simple, we can think like God thinks because we have been created in His image. Secondly, the mind was totally impacted, affected, corrupted by the fall of Adam, so much so that the human mind is or has become completely enslaved to sin in every single area of our life. Genesis 6:5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's an amazing statement. When you look at the pre-flood world, that every mind, every thought of the heart was only evil continually. And we know when Noah and his family came off the ark, the nature of man was still the same. Ephesians says that before we're saved, we live out the passions of our sinful flesh through the desires of the mind and the body. We pursue in life things that are meaningless. I'll be frankly honest with you. I saw something today on the internet of a former student, and I think, what in the world? And I think of Ephesians 4 that says that before we're saved, we live out a meaningless life in the futility of our mind. But that's the way we are by nature. And then Romans says the natural mind is in conflict with God, so that it is impossible for the natural mind to know God or to follow God. And that leads to this, and that is the mind is transformed miraculously through salvation. The new birth, regeneration, is a new heart and a new mind. And I think one of the greatest illustrations is the maniac of Gadara, who after he was converted, the Bible says that he was sitting before Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Something had dramatically happened in his salvation experience so that his mind changed. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The beauty, the glory of conversion is that I can now read the Bible and not only comprehend it, but all of a sudden it becomes a book of life to me. It explains life. It makes sense in how it is that I am to live life by grace. And so it's a wonderful, a marvelous thing to think of the transformation of our mind. And then let me also say that spiritual growth is the transforming process of the mind being renovated. Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Colossians 3:9, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. God has given us a pre-fall condition in our mind in the sense of our ability to know and understand and comprehend God. 2 Corinthians 10:4, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Bob Jones Sr. said that most of the issues of the Christian life can be resolved by proper mental adjustments, changing your thinking from what you would naturally normally think, our ways are not his ways and our thoughts are not his thoughts, and adjusting our thinking to the way God thinks. And then let me say one last thing, and that is the great commandment that we have is to love God, and we're to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our minds. So our investment in knowing God through his word is a part of learning to love God, because it's hard to love somebody that you don't know. So as we grow in the word, we're growing in our knowledge of God, which means we grow in our love of God. And the point I'd like to make here is that we are all responsible for what we think. And I want to say that emphatically, that we are all responsible for the way that we think. And growing in our thoughts, growing in our understanding, growing in our knowledge. And let me put it this way, we cannot blame others, especially in the realm of our choices, our actions, and our emotions. We cannot blame others, someone. We cannot blame circumstances, something. And not without understanding that there are great difficulties that we go through in life, and we understand how people can think certain ways. I mean, it's understandable that you go through traumatic events and you struggle with those things, but we're still responsible for what we think, and out of that, our choices that we make and the life that we live. So let's go to Isaiah 26 this morning, and let's talk then for a few moments about what is a healthy mind and how do we have a healthy mind. Isaiah is writing here, and I'm reading this morning from the ESV, verse 1 of Isaiah 26. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He set up salvation as walls and bulwarks, opened the gates that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Isaiah is writing here, and we'll come back and look at it a little more in detail. But essentially, I believe he's telling us what is a healthy mind. What is a healthy mind? He says in verse 3, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. A healthy mind is one that is kept in perfect peace. The word keep there is the word that we would use for a soccer goalie. We call him a keeper. He has to protect the goal. God is saying here that we can be kept in perfect peace. There's a protection there. And the idea to me of a healthy mind is one that is being kept in perfect peace. So what is perfect peace? Well, it's interesting in the Hebrew language that the word perfect and the word peace are the exact same words, and they're back to back. It can be read this way: thou will keep him in shalom. That's the word peace. Shalom, shalom. It's stated twice. Why twice? In the Hebrew, it's a point of emphasis. Remember, Jesus would say, verily, verily, I say unto thee. Has your mother ever told you something twice? It's a point of emphasis. And what he's saying here is a point of emphasis that God will keep you in shalom, shalom. So what does the word shalom mean? Well, when you look it up and you begin to study it, it unfolds like a flower. It's a beautiful word. I love the word because one word can't describe it. It's a rich, full experience of wholeness or completeness. When your refrigerator is full, you experience shalom, whether you eat it all or not. You're at peace. It means prosperity or prosperous. When your bank account has enough money in it to pay your bills, what's the result? There's going to be peace. Favorable circumstances, free from danger, going to bed at night and not worrying, but sleeping peacefully. It's the idea of health or lack of disease. It's the idea of contentment, satisfaction. It's the idea of friendship, of blessing, of kindness. God is a God of shalom. Jesus is called the Prince of Shalom. When we are depressed, anxious, we feel lonely, what is the opposite of those things? It's always shalom. And Isaiah here gives us two images, I think, that are intended to give us an emotional understanding of peace. Because when a Hebrew would describe the qualities of God, he would often use an image that we could see and respond to. There's an emotion to that. And what are the images? Number one, he says that it's like a strong city. Notice verse 1. He says, in that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up salvation as walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. In ancient times, people lived oftentimes outside a castle or a city with walls, and they lived with the fear of being attacked by marauders or being invaded by their own enemies. And so their safety would come when they would go within the city walls. They were protected. This is the image that Isaiah presents of shalom, a strong city. He said with walls and bulwarks, a double protection. He presents it in the most emotional way where we feel it. And how does he present it? He presents it in a song. Why a song? Because singing touches us, our emotions. It brings truth into our souls in a richer way. For example, we all like music. Music is enjoyable. It is pleasurable. It also is a means by expressing things that are important to us. Things that we want to exalt, whether it's truth or beauty or something that is good. I mean, how many songs have been written about the mountains? How many songs, if you ever go to Hawaii and you listen to Hawaiian music, they always sing about the islands. They sing about the water. They sing about the flowers. They express themselves in an emotional way. And the other aspect about music that is so important is that it is used for us to remember things. It's for the sake of our memory. So Isaiah writes a song for us to feel, to focus, and to forget not that God is our strong city. Because when we're depressed or when we're anxious or when we're lonely, those emotional feelings overtake us. And God is giving us, if I could say in an emotional way, a strong city for our memory that God is the one in who we can run to. We find in him security, stability. He is our source of shalom. And the people who have access to this city are the righteous, the people of faith, those who are saved. It's interesting to me that the New Testament addresses this exact same issue, but in a much more direct statement. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, will keep like a goalie your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So what is a healthy mind? It is one that is living in shalom, shalom. The second image he gives is found in the last phrase in verse 4 when he says, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. The word everlasting is the word Olam, El Olam, the eternal one, the eternal God. It can refer to something old, extending for a long time in the past. It can refer to an unlimited duration of time with a focus on the future. It's eternal. He is saying that our God is everlasting and he's an everlasting rock. And the word here for rock in the King James, it says everlasting strength. So he's speaking here about the ageless rock or the rock of ages. And the word rock is a mountain or high rock or cliff. I think the great illustration of this is a place called Masada in Israel. If you've ever been there before, if you've ever read about Masada, a rock plateau that explodes almost 1,500 feet above the desert floor, and you stand there and you think, how can anybody ever get up here? This place is a place of great protection and safety. And so Isaiah is giving us emotional images, a rock of ages, a strong city, to illustrate for us what is a healthy mind. It is a mind that is being kept in shalom, shalom. Now, question then is this, how do I have or experience this healthy mind? And that takes us back to the text when he says, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. God gives his shalom, shalom to the one whose mind is stayed on him. The word stayed there means to rest, like when you take a nap on the couch. Or to support, like somebody who supports you financially. It means here someone who is resting in his mind on the Lord. My oldest daughter, Rebecca, who is 39 years old, when she was a little girl, I would take her out into a swimming pool because she was so fearful of water and I wanted her to overcome her fears. And so I would have her lay on top of the water and I put my arms underneath her. I said, now I want you to just lay on my arms and relax. Do you think she relaxed? No. She rolled over and almost squeezed my neck, almost like, you know, like giving you something, a problem in your neck. And I remember how easy it is for us to be fearful. The opposite of fear is actually relaxing. That's why you like to go home. You know why you like to go home? So you can rest at home. You can relax. Here's what he is saying. He's saying God gives his shalom, shalom to the one who rests in or relaxes in. And by the way, the idea here of resting, the effect of resting, is that this is what trust is all about. It's learning to trust in the Lord. Have you ever heard anybody say, trust in the process? There's a process you got to go through and everybody wants to make it work and fix it. Say, no, 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 trust the process. When you learn to rest in the Lord, you're learning to trust in the Lord. And a healthy mind then is developed through choosing to rest your mind on or trust in the Lord as the strong city or the rock of ages when you are facing life's disrupting experiences. It's your mental and spiritual response, because you can't separate mental from spiritual. They're all intertwined. It's what you do when you face storms. It's what you do when you face stress. It's what you do when you go through fears and anxieties and threats and pressures and hardships. We all go through them. They overwhelm our emotions. And what do we have to do? It's not an instantaneous thing always. For some people it is. It depends on, you know, it depends on the circumstance or situation in their life, but it's learning to rest in the Lord in the midst of all of the storms. So question then is this, then what does he mean by the word mind? He says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. The word mind there is the word for imagination. What is your imagination? Everybody has one. The imagination is the ability to create reality, ideas, images, concepts. It's the movie screen of your mind. It's your thoughts and how you can create things. You see a building. Somebody created that building in a planning process called architects. And God is saying here that we are to put our imagination on the Lord, the thoughts that we place on Him. The way this happens is a progressive process of the mind learning to think on the Lord in the midst of the circumstances of life. And what is the process of developing this kind of mind? The answer is it is always through daily meditation. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt be prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. It is the continual process of the mind being focused on, staying on the nature of God, the person of God, the promises of God. To say it up, summarize it, it is the mind being focused on the Word of God. And as a result in that, over a process of time, and it's not like a miracle, it's like medicine. A miracle is something that's instantaneous. It happens like that. Medicine, maybe you don't take much medicine. You get to be my age, you can't believe how much medicine you end up taking. But if you have high blood pressure, you take medicine. It's not just one time. It's a day in, day out process that basically ends up balancing out your health. The same thing is true with the Word of God. As you meditate on it, as you think upon it, and especially as you go through all kinds of troubling circumstances, you put your mind back on the Lord. You're learning to trust in and rest in the Lord. I mentioned this in chapel. I'll finish up with this, that one of the greatest, I think, issues today with young people in particular is that their constant source of meditation is here. This is their constant source of meditation. And you can read it. I mean, the experts are saying that one of the great causes of anxiety today is this. It's way too much information, especially about other people. You know, in some ways, I really don't want to know about you. I don't need to know about you. I got enough problems with myself. But it's the overusage. It's a meditation process. The average college student right now, this is that you can read it online. They're on the cell phone anywhere from a very minimal 4.5 hours a day to up to 8 to 10 hours a day. That's a lot of time on this. And this becomes the source of meditation. It's what you do with your thoughts, as opposed to taking a verse a day. Or let's say this, taking your devotions in the morning where you read the Word and then you take that with you throughout the course of your day and you add that day after day like medicine, little by little. And what you're finding is you're stabilizing your thoughts on the nature and character of God. And then when you go through the great stresses, problems, difficulties, heartaches, what does your mind do? Your mind's going to go back to what it's been thinking about. And it's going to go back to the Lord. And what's the result? The result is peace. One last thing, and I'll be finished. He says at the end of verse 4, these words, he says, because he says, trust ye in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah, trust ye in the Lord, for in the Lord Jehovah, or the Lord God, it says in the ESV, is everlasting strength or an everlasting rock. And that phrase, Lord God, in the Hebrew is the phrase Jehovah, Jehovah. So he says, if you want peace, peace, what do you have to do? You have to trust in Jehovah, Jehovah. Got it? That's the point. Do you get this? Because this is where you have a healthy mind. Lord, we thank you today for your goodness to us. Thank you that we can learn to think our thoughts in alignment with your thoughts. Help us, Lord, to put our minds on you as we walk with you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.